Galatians chapter 5 and verse number 22. Let's all stand for the reading of the Bible tonight. Galatians chapter 5 and verse number 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vain glory, provoking one another, envying one another. Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray, dear Lord, that you'd bless the teaching of the Bible tonight. Lord, we're going to look at some biblical principles that, Lord, will help us in our marriages. And so I pray, Lord, that you would cause those of us that are married to listen, to take note, to try to align our relationship biblically, dear Lord, to be the best that we can be for each other. I pray for the young people, dear God. What a blessing, as I mentioned this morning, to be raised in a Bible-preaching church. And Lord, these principles may not be pertinent as far as immediately into their life, but Lord, oh, if they'll listen, if they'll tuck these truths away, Lord, I believe they'll help prepare them to have the right kind of a marriage, a biblical marriage in the future. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. I want you to look at this section of Scripture. And of course, if you go through Galatians chapter 5, it talks a lot about the idea of being filled with the Spirit of God and the importance of being led by the Spirit of God, capital S, Spirit, which is talking about the Holy Spirit of God. If we live in the Spirit, verse 25, let us also walk in the Spirit. It goes on to talk about what the flesh wants to do. Verse number 19, before we got into this, verse number 19, the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. And then we have verse 22, the other side of the coin, but the fruit of the Spirit is. Look at this. I think this is what I would want my marriage to bear, my marriage relationship, the kind of fruit I would hope it would bear is love and joy and peace and long-suffering and gentleness and goodness and faith. And let me just kind of stop and just say, folks, listen, this whole idea of having a good marriage and a strong marriage is aided and made possible through the working and the activity of the Holy Spirit of God inside of each and every one of us. Amen. You see, when you got saved, you were indwelt by a member of the triune God, the Holy Spirit of God. Now, he can be, as one old preacher said, he can be the resident or he can be the president. And you're the one that decides what role he plays in your life. Now, the flesh is going to produce these negative things. And I was reading down through verse 19 and 21, and some of these things are very extreme. And yet, folks, I hate to say this, more and more of this list of sins are cropping up in a regular basis in marriages. And so if we want to, we can follow the flesh. If we want to, we can give in to the flesh. If we want to, we can let the flesh, come on, get to the front of the line, put the Holy Spirit to the back of the line, and that's how we can order ourselves. But, folks, that's going to not only affect our walk with God and our effectiveness to serve the Lord Jesus Christ and reach the lost, but it's going to have a powerful effect on our marriage. I can't tell you enough and emphasize enough tonight the importance of seeking the fullness of the Holy Spirit as a husband. I can't tell you the importance, I can't stress it enough, ladies, of seeking the fullness of the Holy Spirit as a wife. Parents, let me address both of you as parents. Parents, in the rearing of your children, you need to be filled with the Spirit of God, because the fruit of the Spirit, not of Jerry Ross, it's not what it says in verse 22. I let Jerry Ross run the thing. I'm going to be up here in verse 19, 20, and 21. But when I let the Holy Spirit reign and rule in my life. He produces, the fruit of the Spirit produces love and joy and peace and long-suffering and gentleness and goodness and faith, meekness and temperance. Well, I don't know if you come up with a better list of attributes that will help you to have the right kind of marriage right there. And against such there is no law. And then it says in verse 25, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory. Notice the next phrase, provoking one another, envying one another. Now let's stay with that thought for a minute. We're going to talk a lot about communication tonight and importance of communication. But let's go one book over to the book of Ephesians now. You got Galatians, then you have Ephesians. And in Ephesians chapter number 5, we have this portion of scripture, and we're really not going to get into verse 21 down through 33 tonight. But I want to focus your attention on what precedes verse 21 down through 33. Verse number 18, the Bible says this, and be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual song, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Sounds like that produces happiness. Right. Sounds like it produces singing. It sounds like it creates the right spirit within a person. How about this? Verse 20, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So here, the filling of the Spirit causes us to be singing in our heart, making melody in our heart to the Lord, having a song on our lips, giving thanks. It affects our thankfulness. And then right after that, we get into verse number 21. By the way, verse 21 says, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of the Lord. And here it's speaking in verse number 18 of being not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. So it's encouraging us in verse 18, 19, and 20 to be in submission to the Holy Spirit of God. And folks, what we ought to make sure is that, first of all, we're submitting ourselves to God. And gentlemen, that's all of us, by the way, okay? Every single Christian needs to submit themselves unto God and to seek the fullness of the Holy Spirit of God. So that needs to be achieved. I talked a little bit just at the end of the message this morning about we got to make sure this relationship is right before we're going to be able to get these relationships right. And so we need to submit to the fullness of the Holy Spirit, seek the fullness of the Holy Spirit. And then as we do that, we learn that, of course, that's important that we submit to God. But then verse 21 introduces this next section that goes all the way down to the end of chapter 5 and then on into chapter number 6, all the way down to verse number 9. Yes, you need to submit to the Lord, but on a human plane, there's also relationships where submission is necessary. And so, yes, we submit to the Lord, but then we look at the Bible instruction as far as earthly relationships, and we talk about the matter of submission. I'm not going to get into that tonight. I think this Wednesday night, Lord willing, we'll get into that deeply, and I hope it'll be a help and a blessing to you. Tonight, I want to focus on this matter of communication. I believe that there's a way that we need to learn to talk to people. Okay, and I think the way we need to learn to talk to people ought to be controlled by the Holy Spirit of God. I'm going to have to just list them quick. This may be one of the shorter messages on marriage because of the after service fellowship and all of that. But I touched a little bit on child rearing, and I would encourage everyone in this room, every parent in this room, every adult in this room, there's two books you need to get. You need to read The Childhood Years of Jesus Christ, and then you need to read The Teenage Years of Jesus Christ. If I could get all of our members to read it, to look at every single scripture that's in those books, to make sure and test it out and see that the principles that are taught in those books are fully backed by Scripture, if you'll take the time to do it. I don't mind being tested. Matter of fact, I often tell people, I don't care if you disagree with something that's in one of the books I'm written. I'm not perfect. It's not the inspired Word of God. But I promise you this, in those books, I give you the Bible behind what I say. And if you're going to disagree with something, why don't you bring Bible instead of, well, I just don't agree with that. Right. Okay, look right up here. Who cares? Okay, when it comes between your opinion and God's word, okay, shame on you if you elevate your opinion above what the Bible teaches, okay? Again, if the Bible says something and I believe something different, this is shocking. The Bible is right and I am wrong. I am wrong, okay? Now, let's see, the preacher, of course, I don't know. You don't deal with 2024 Christians, and I do deal with a lot of them, and sometimes I wonder if people really believe that anymore, if they think their opinions or their feelings ought to trump the Word of God. And so anyway, what we need to do is get back to the Bible, and that'll help us. Now, in the Teenage Years of Jesus Christ, that book, I cover something called the 10 Laws of Excellent Speech. I believe Christian husbands need to apply those 10 laws to their wife. And because, folks, it's 10 laws of excellent speech from the book of Proverbs and a few places outside of Proverbs that just teach us how to have excellent speech. The Bible in the book of Proverbs talks about speaking excellent words and having excellent speech. And if you listen to the average person, their words are not governed and controlled by biblical principles. Let me read them to you real quick, okay? Speak sparingly. Proverbs 10:19, in the multitude of words there wanteth not sin, but he that refraineth his lips is wise. And one of the biblical principles, Bible talks about in the New Testament, about being slow to speak, swift to hear, and speak sparingly. Think about that. In the multitude of words, there wanteth, that word wanteth means lacketh, there lacketh not sin. And I will just tell you that the more you can't control your mouth and the more you feel led to have to speak constantly, the more you open yourself up for the possibility of sin. And that's tied to the second royal law, or the second law of excellent speech, which is to speak only after thinking. Proverbs 29:10, seest thou a man that is hasty in his words? Well, here's the verdict. There is more hope of a fool than of him. Hey, you ever noticed that the Bible's pretty direct in the book of Proverbs? I mean, it's not afraid just to be shotgun straight. So here's somebody that just feels like they ought to talk all the time. Now, listen, I know there's people of different personalities. There's some folks that are very quiet and they don't speak a whole lot. And then there's some of you ladies that are over communicators and some of you men that are over communicators. And you say, well, that's just how God made me. Well, we won't get into this tonight, but the Bible says that to God, a meek and quiet spirit to God is of great price. And again, sometimes we just hide behind personalities. Okay, well, let's make it God's fault that this is the way I am. Right. This is how God made me. Or you just haven't learned to shut your mouth. Amen. Right. Okay, and there's a wonderful thing in a relationship. Listen, your husband, I'm going to talk about the importance of communication. I'm going to talk about men that we need to listen and we need to communicate with our wives. But ladies, some of you, could you give him a break? Okay, I mean, most guys don't want 24/7 nonstop chatter, 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 chatter. This is going to surprise you, and my wife will verify this, but we can get in a car. We've gotten in a car and taken a 3-hour trip and probably said just a handful of things to each other. You know, sometimes it's okay just to be in the presence of someone else and to be comfortable in their presence. Now, there's times we need to talk about things and times we want to talk about things and times we ought to talk about things. And but you know what? The whole idea of just nonstop talking, right. I'm just giving you a Bible principle. In the multitude of words, there wanteth not sin, but he that refraineth his lips is wise. And then to speak only after thinking. Let me just tell you what my experience in life has been. You get a bunch of Christian people together, and they don't really have a plan of what they're going to do together, and so they sit around talking. Let me just tell you what I believe happens 99 times out of 100. Right. Eventually, the conversation goes to things that it shouldn't. Right. where all of a sudden they're talking about people. Now, you can deny it, but I'm going to have you check it the next time you get together and you're just doing this with no plan. Right. Next thing you know, well, we always meet once a week over at so-and-so's house. Well, what do you do there? Well, we just mostly just sit around and talk. Well, what do you talk about? And by the way, if I taped it and we played it in church, how would that go for you? Okay, what I'm saying is we ought to be very purposeful in what we talk about. We ought to be very disciplined. God has passed some, what I believe, are laws of excellent speech that prevents us and guards us from crossing lines and talking about things that we ought not to be talking about, that the Bible forbids us to talk about. And so speak sparingly, speak only after thinking. I feel alone up here. You guys are going to have to get a little stronger with me, all right? Speak honestly. Proverbs 12:17, he that speaketh truth showeth forth righteousness, but a false witness deceit. Listen, husbands, you need to allow your wife to speak honestly to you. Wives, you need to allow your husbands to speak honestly to you. And by the way, if you can't take it, then don't give it. Okay, so I've been in these things where, you know, you have a wife or a husband that wants to be honest and wants them to listen to the honest things about the other person, but they don't want to hear anything honest about themselves. We ought to be able to speak honestly with each other. Now, folks, I always connect number 3 and number 4 closely together, because the same Bible that tells us to speak honestly also tells us to speak with grace. Colossians 4:6, let your speech be always with grace. Now think about that word grace. Don't we say that's unmerited favor? Aren't we thankful for the grace of God? Isn't God's grace amazing? Well, let's let that amazing grace baptize our conversations. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt. Well, you said we ought to speak honestly. Well, then I want you to, but while you're being honest, you can still speak with grace. Okay? And we can use honesty as an excuse just to take words and hurt somebody. Or we can baptize our honesty in grace and make sure that even when we're talking about sometimes difficult things, and we can talk about difficult things and still show unmerited favor to each other and baptize them in grace. And so be willing and being able to have a honest conversation about some things in your marriage and do it gracefully. Let me just tell you one of the great communication, I believe, and I don't think it's a trick, I just think it's Bible. But one of the great communication secrets that'll help people to be willing to accept honest things that are uncomfortable. If I've only had 10 conversations with Isaac this year, let's say, and in every one of them I walked up and the only thing I talked about was something in his life that I didn't appreciate, okay? I don't imagine after the 5th or 6th conversation he's probably listening to me much, okay? If you've got to bring up something negative, then you know what? Let's talk about positive things first, okay? Think about that. You know, if you've got to talk to your wife about something that you need her to step up in or improve in, then could you say, honey, I want to talk to you about something. Before I do, I need to, let me give you 5 things that I so appreciate about you. Okay, now every woman, when they hear that line, is going to be like, I know where this is going. Okay. And wives, before you say the one thing, you know, about your husband, you know, then say, first, let me give you the 50 things, the 50 things. I'm trying to help us, guys. I really am. I'm not communicating very well, but even people that are in business, even people that interact with the public, even if you take a sales course, you know, everybody understands the sandwich theory, you know. If you've got to talk about something negative, you know, put that as the meat in the middle and let's sandwich it with positive things. And, you know, folks, when we have meetings around the church, a lot of times maybe something we put on and there was something that we could have done better. And, you know, when I meet with the staff, the first thing I want to do is say, let me tell you 4 or 5 things about the things I loved about how the event went the other night. And just boom, boom, boom. We pulled that off great. That worked great. Hey, let's do that again next year. I like that. But there's one thing, folks, we can't do again, okay? And that's just called, come on, using some grace. That's the Bible word, grace. Just learning to use a little bit of grace. How about this, Psalms 19:14, speak only acceptable words. Think about this. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. And so think about this. When you memorize, now you say, preacher, before I say something, I got to go through 10 laws of excellent speech and make sure they pass all the tests. Well, when you first begin to implement these laws into your life, it does cause you to stop and pause and take some time. And you may even have to carry a card around to look at it and double check. But you know, you do it enough times and you know what? We can memorize 10 of anything else. And it's just good when you're in a conversation sometimes, just go down through the list. And as you're choosing your words, listen, one thing, I want to make sure that I'm speaking acceptable words. Acceptable to who? Acceptable to Him. You know, folks, we used to have something called a party line at the Ross house back in the 1960s when we lived north of Brazil. Any of you ever lived in a house that had a party line for a while? All right. And, you know, there's something called a party line. And we would have to go over if we wanted to make a call. We'd pick it up first of all and listen to see if anybody else was already talking on our line, because we shared a phone line with all of the neighbors. And if somebody was on there, you put it back down. Well, except for a couple ladies in our neighborhood, but most of us put it back down. And then you might go a little bit later on and check it again. And you could be so nobody's on there. So now you make the call, and all of a sudden you're talking to somebody and there's two people on the line. And then the next thing you know, you hear a click, and all of a sudden you realize that somebody's picked up, and you're waiting to hear the click because surely they're going to be, you know, sensible enough to hang up. Only you don't hear the second click. And I'll never forget my mom saying to Ruth Ann Purcell one time, Ruth, I'll have to call you back later. I think Mrs. So-and-so's listening. And the lady literally said out loud, I am not, and then slammed the phone down. And so. I like that. Well, hey, can we remember something? There's a third party listening in on every conversation. Okay, every conversation. Now, folks, what are you saying here? It's not just in marriage, but especially in marriage. I think our tendency to sin a lot of times comes because, come on, because of our tongue. Did God not move James to write an entire chapter and talk about the wickedness and the sinfulness and the danger of the tongue? Jerry Ross didn't write that. And so when we really begin to do a study on this and realize that in our home and how we communicate, folks, husbands, take the leadership in this. You're supposed to be the spiritual leader, so let's take the leadership in this. Wives, think about how you're addressing your husband. You're not just talking to him. You are training your children how to talk to a husband. You're training your daughters how to talk to a husband. Sir, you are training those boys how to talk to their wife one day. That's kind of a big deal, okay? And so let's speak only acceptable words. Speak appropriately. A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold and pictures of silver. And appropriateness, I think we have to have enough sense to know when to bring up certain subjects, when it's an appropriate time, when it's a right time. I watched this preacher one time, and I was at a funeral, and this lady had lost her husband, and she was devastated, and she was standing there at the casket, and I was standing there with her, and I was consoling her. What was I doing? I was using appropriate words for that situation and trying to give her some comfort and share some biblical verses with her and express to her how much we're going to pray for her. And this other preacher come up, and he said, man, I'm sure I'm sorry about you losing your husband. And then he went into this series of telling about 5 or 6 jokes. I am not kidding you. He's standing up there telling jokes at the casket. She's standing by her husband that she just lost. And he's up there trying to impress all of us about what a great comedian he is. Folks, I just kind of looked at this guy like, what is it wrong or sinful to tell good, clean jokes? And it doesn't a merry heart do with good like a medicine? Yeah, but there's an appropriate time to do that. And there's not an appropriate time to do that. And so again, in our relationship, sometimes we have to understand what's going on in the other person's life, what's going on in the home. And is this the best time to bring this up? Speak respectfully. Rebuke not an elder, but entreat him as a father, the younger men as brethren, the elder women as mothers, the younger as sisters with all purity. Speak respectfully. I think that husbands ought to speak very respectfully to their wives. Wives, speak very respectfully to your husband. You know, sometimes I hear, and I'm going to talk about this, but we've got to be so careful, not on just the words we say, but the tone we use. And so never speak disrespectfully to them. Number eight, never speak evil of another. Titus 3:2, we are to speak evil of no man. And so evil, think about that, is to be purposefully harmful or hurtful to another. What are we doing? And I told her, I gave her a piece of my mind. And your goal in that conversation was to inflict pain and inflict emotional hurt. And that's what you wanted to accomplish. And that's what you did. And you're proud of it. That's not the way we ought to talk as Christians. The Bible tells us never praise yourself. Proverbs 27:2, let another man praise thee and not thine own mouth, a stranger and not thine own lips. And then number 10, as I go down through, and I'm kind of rushing through them, but I always give number 10. We talk about the 10 laws of excellent speech. Number 10 is speak boldly, speak the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, well, how does that fit in our marriage? You show me a wife that spends a good deal of her time sharing the gospel with other people and a husband that spends a good deal of his time sharing the gospel with other people, and I will show you people that probably are very good at communicating in other ways when it comes to helping each other. Now, what are we talking about here? We're talking about the idea of communication. Folks, if you would just, and you can pick up the book in the back. We sell them in the bookstore, and I think we have some back there. And preacher, I can't afford it, then go pick it up, and me and Cheryl will pay for it, and we'll replace it back there. But, you know, it's worth the time to say, to take a look at what the Bible says. In the book, The Teenage Years of Jesus Christ, it talks about, when I was a child, I spake as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. And folks, I'm sorry, but children speak differently than adults. Teenagers, part of the growing up process is learning how to use this thing the right way. Okay? And just because you're emotional or you're in a bad mood or you want to see if you can put somebody down and you're walking around snapping things off, it's time to grow up in this matter of speaking. And so look at these 10 laws of excellent speech, and then you know what? Moms and dads, let's pass that as laws. As laws. And it said of the woman in the book of Proverbs, in her mouth is the law of kindness. And you think about that. Proverbs 31, she passed a law. And you know what? There's certain ways I will use my words, and there's certain things I will not use my words to do. And if we take a look at these and let the word of God govern us, you can still be you. You can still have your personality. You can still be the unique person God created you to be. But you can also stay within the boundaries of what the Bible teaches us in this matter of excellent speech. Now, let me get to a few more specifics when it comes to communication, okay? Let me give you this when we're talking about communication. Number next, okay? The past is the past. Keep it there. The past is the past. Keep it there. Okay, if there's something that's happened in the past and you as a couple haven't dealt with it properly, then go home tonight and deal with it properly. And by the way, review the 10 laws of excellent speech before you get into that conversation, please, because you can do it civilly and you can do it as a Christian. And it can be productive. That conversation can be productive and it can be honest. It can be filled with grace and filled with the fruits of the Spirit. And you can bring closure to something in your past and then leave it there. leave it there. A lot of times this creates issues in marriages where there's something in the past that's happened. You know, husband said something when he was angry and it was very hurtful. And here you are 10 years later and you're still bringing it up every time an argument comes on. How is that going to help? Please tell me how's that's going to help. Your wife, you know what, maybe she really dropped the ball in the area of her life and maybe she did something that she's ashamed of and you know she's ashamed of it and she's asked you to forgive her and you say you have. Well, then why is it every time you get in an argument, it comes back up again? Folks, listen, this is how the world treats each other. But you know what we read? We read, be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another. How do we forgive one another? Even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Well, I'm sure glad every time I go to God, as I start to pray and as I start to praise and then I start to pray, he doesn't interrupt me and say, hey, let's talk about all the things you've done wrong in your life before we go any farther. You remember 10 years ago? Now, does God do that to me? No, he doesn't do it to you either. No. Well, preacher, sometimes that comes to my mind. Well, there's somebody called the accuser of the brethren. Okay, all right. God's not going to bring up what he's already forgiven and forgotten. But the devil will bring those as accusations. Okay, look right up here. Come on, we want good marriages or not? Put our seatbelt on. Are you mimicking God in your marriage or are you mimicking the devil in your marriage? Because that's what the devil does. He's always bringing up things from the past, that your failings, and trying to make you feel like a failure all over again. God doesn't do that. He forgives it and he forgets it. And so, you know what? Let's ask God to help us do the same thing. We read that little phrase in the book of Galatians about provoking one another. And it's in connection with being filled with the Spirit. Galatians 5, verse 25, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another. And I think the little phrase I use in my notes here is, don't push that button. Don't push that button. Okay? You know, folks, there's something that the Bible warns of in the book of Proverbs when it comes to this matter of a contentious spirit and contention. The Bible warns about a contentious woman. And it says to the husband, it's better to go dwell in the wilderness than with a contentious woman. What does contentious mean? It means provoking one another, always trying to create contention, always trying to create an argument, always trying to create some type of a battle between your husband and your wife. Don't have a contentious spirit. But folks, listen, come on, guys. The Bible also in the book of Proverbs warns us about the contentious man. And I believe that a contention, there's such a thing as a contentious spirit that sometimes comes into a home. And I think it's a demonic spirit. Okay, and I think it, because listen, God brings peace. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering. Come on, think about that. That's the fruits of the Spirit. Anytime the devil comes in, he wants to create confusion and contention, envying, provoking one another. These are the fruits of the flesh, not the fruits of the Spirit. So, you know what? Be careful in this matter of provoking one another, okay? You know, come on, gentlemen, if you've been married for a very long time at all, you know something that you can say to her or bring up to her that's going to push her button and it's not going to go well after that. Well, she needs to get over it. Or you just need to shut up. Okay? You can just stop doing that. Okay? All right? Listen, my wife has strengths. My wife has weaknesses. I could harp on her weaknesses and always having her feel about like that. Or I could, come on, express my thankfulness for her strengths and have her feeling like she's loved. And by the way, I'm aware of her weak areas. My job is not to use those and turn them into a club to hurt her. My job as a man, is to protect her in those areas of her life and watch over her and make sure that my strengths make up for her weak areas. Now, boy, I just gave you a lot right there. And wives, you can do the same thing with your husband. You know, he can have five or six really strong areas and you can never say a word about him. But the two or three areas where he struggles, you can just pick those up like a club and beat him over the head with them on a regular basis. But what are you doing? And is that the Holy Spirit leading you to do that? Or is that your old flesh? Is that the devil, the accuser of the brethren? Or is that, you know, God who says, I remember your sins no more? You know, God makes up for a lot of weaknesses in this guy. So I think God has set the example. If he comes alongside us, side of us, and fills us with his Spirit and gives us strength, when we are weak, then he is. No, he picks it up like a club and beats us over the head with it. And so many of these things, we just need to stop doing that. If that's part of your conversation, that's part of the way you talk to each other, listen, get it right. Now that means, come on, getting it right sometimes means uncomfortable. It means that sometimes, come on, sir, again, we want to be the spiritual leaders. Are we willing to lead in this area where the Holy Spirit's right now causing us to recognize that the way we've talked to our wife is not a biblical way of talking to our wife? Do we have the humility? Do we love our wives enough? Do we want the right kind of relationship to go home, sit down and say, honey, I was thinking during the message, the Holy Spirit's tearing me up. And there's times I say this, times I say that, and you should not have to hear that. And you're not going to hear it again. I'm not going to go down that road again. You know, come on. I think a lot of times people are envious of a good marriage, but are you willing to pay the price and have the humility to really have a good marriage? Okay. And so, the past is the past. Keep it there. Apply the 10 laws of excellent speech to your marriage. Don't push that button. Don't just provoke one another. And then let me finish with this. When communicating with each other, listen to the tone of your voice. Be aware of your body language, okay? Proverbs chapter 6, very interesting. Hey, let's go there. We'll look at this. It'll take me about 2-3 minutes to talk to you about it. And then we'll go get a cupcake or whatever we're going to have out there. But Proverbs chapter 6, I think, ought to probably be underlined in every single person's Bible. Because you know what? You do not just communicate with your words. You communicate with the tone of your words and with your body language. Proverbs chapter 6, if you look in verse number 12, Proverbs chapter 6 and verse number 12, we see this: a naughty person, a wicked man, walketh with a forward mouth. Well, how specifically does he do that? There's the forward mouth, so there's the words, but he also uses body language. He winketh with his eyes, he speaketh with his feet, he teacheth with his fingers. And sir, ma'am, I think everybody in here knows that when you're communicating with somebody, you can be saying the right words, but you can be saying them in such a tone that you're taking the right words and making them the wrong words. Right. You can also, through your body language, not say anything. Well, preacher, he said this and he said this and I didn't say anything to him. Oh, you mean like with your mouth? Right. Okay. Did you say something with your body language? I mean, you know, I didn't say a word to him and he was going on. Were you rolling your eyes and sighing? Shaking your head? Because, you know, you can say, come on, we can say as much with our body language as we can with our words. And so I'm talking about tonight communication. Hey, we've got between now, we've got going into this week, the 10 royal law or 10 laws of excellent speech. We can work on that. Think about this. Let's work on being spirit filled. And being really careful as we're filled with the Spirit not to provoke one another, not to just purposely push buttons that we know is going to be hurtful and harmful. Hey, if there's something in the past that needs to be fully discussed and laid to rest once and for all, then let's do it. All right, men, come on. Let's do that. Let's be willing to allow our wives to bring that up. But then let's get it done. Okay? Let's get it all talked out. Let's get it all figured out. Let's offer forgiveness. Let's accept forgiveness. Then let's take it out in the backyard and have a funeral for it. Yeah. And bury it and be done with it. Okay? And then also when communicating, be careful in the tone of voice that you use. Gentlemen, we've really got to watch this. I think men are probably more guilty of this than women are, but I've sometimes cringed. I'll be honest with you. I just sometimes cringe even around our church here. Not often. Preacher, are you thinking of me? No, absolutely not. I'm sure it's someone else. But I just listen to the tone some men take with their wives, and they talk to them like they're talking to a three-year-old. And I'm embarrassed for her. I hurt for her. So if I'm embarrassed for her and I'm hurting for her, how embarrassed is she? And how much is that hurting her? I mean, if you in front of other people turn around and literally talk to your wife as if you're talking to a five-year-old, do you understand what you're doing to her heart? And I've also listened to women just turn around and lecture their husband like they were dressing down their three-year-old son. You know, again, let's watch our tone. Let's watch our body language.